Hey, podcasting takes a lot of work. Not only do you have to get the video and audio produced professionally, but you also have to have all of the show notes, the description titles, social media captions ready to go. If that's you and you're looking for that, CapShow is the perfect opportunity for you to take all of that information that you need, put it together in one package, and send your podcast out into social media universe. CapShow is a perfect opportunity, the perfect platform, the perfect resource to help you take your podcast to the next level. If you want to know more about CapShow, click the link in the show notes. Make sure you sign up. Let them know Next Evolution Podcast sent you, and you'll be on your way to producing not only a quality podcast, but quality show notes and even blog posts that will help take your podcast to the next level. CapShow is the only show for you. Peace.
I had to get rid of that first, that idea that I deserve to be heard, because that's what I learned. Oh, well, yeah, that's what I felt. I was like, well, I deserve to be heard. I'm put here to just be harmed. I'm put here as a cosmic joke. Like everything, I mean, all this feels natural and good to me, but everybody else says it's wrong and I need to not exist.
People need answers.
God, give me the answer!
People need truth.
You can't handle the truth!
People need transformation, and religion won't do.
This kind of thing is spiritual.
Life is evolving, and so are you.
Sounds so soulful, don't you agree?
Welcome to the Next Evolution Podcast.
Thanks for listening to me on the podcast. It's your man, Chaplain Bailey. So good to be with you on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. I am excited about all the possibilities. And in particular, I'm excited about the pattern of possibilities. We have a special guest in this place today, Coach Lee. Coach Lee is going to come to us and share some wonderful information. Coach Lee is coming out of Chicago. I think I got that right. He is a personal development coach, particularly around the subject of finding friends and creating friendships and relationships. And so I am excited to hear what he has to say, as well as a very interesting conversation about who he is as an individual and how he describes himself and how he uses that experience in his life to create the magnificent business and coaching business that he represents. And so before we go any further, I want you to do me one favor, Next Evolution Podcast. I want you to go ahead on and make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment down below. If you have any questions for myself or Coach Lee, please look at the show notes. There'll be a email address from Coach Lee in the show notes that you can check out, as well as my email address, which is nextevolution, N-E-X, evolution spelled out, 2022@gmail.com. But you can solve all of that really quickly by just putting a comment down below or, hitting like, subscribing to the page. If you're listening for the very, very first time, we'd love to have you to be a part of this group. Coach Lee, how are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing so well. Thanks for having me, Lionel. I'm so glad to be here to have this conversation.
I am super excited. I have been looking forward to this experience since the first time we connected, as I shared with you. I had a lot of questions, and I want you to help us understand, help the listening audience to understand who you are, how you get to where you are today, what's your story, and then maybe what tips you can give to all of us and help us as we go through our own spiritual journey, a physical, personal journey, and so forth and so on. So, first of all, man, okay. So here's my the way I started out.
Okay.
So one, you can't be uptight here. Okay, that's the first thing.
All right.
Number
I'm
two,
hard at that.
I can tell. I can tell. Okay, I had to take a drink there. So anyway. And for those of you who are listening, I'm drinking tea, which is really, really good.
Tea. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a few interesting questions. You ready?
Yes, let's
okay,
do it.
Okay, Coach. Number one, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, wow. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Wow.
This movie just came out in March of this year, or April this year. I went to see it. It was just absolutely amazing. Loved it.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay.
Wait, that's a lie. Wait, green. It's just that all my background is blue. And so I was like, the first thing that came to my mind is blue. You told me not to be uptight, but I'm like,
don't worry.
Breathe.
We got
it. It's green. Yeah. It really green. Is green.
Okay. All right. And what's your favorite city?
Chicago, no doubt.
Chi-town.
I'm not born and raised here, but living here has been like the best experience. There's so much to do, so much to see, so easy to get around. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. What's the most embarrassing experience you've ever had?
You said these are going to be easy questions.
Okay. Yeah. Just like, what's the most, okay. You got to give though. You got to tell me, you got to tell
the most
audience.
Embarrassing experience. I think one of the most embarrassing experiences that I had was I was young. So I'm like 17, 18, and I worked in a grocery store and I was putting back a cart. I was putting a cart away. It was empty and I was supposed to walk it over to the lot, but I just wasn't paying attention. I was like staring off in the space to something and I'm just pushing the cart and I just walk right into a wall with the cart. And then all these people were laughing at me.
Oh, like me.
And I'm just like, oops. And I just went on about my day. But that's the thing that came out to my mind. Like, sometimes we're absently aloof.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess me, I was. Yeah.
For those listening, I'll preface it this way. How about that? And then you can lead into it. So Coach is... Coach Lee is a personal coach, as I shared before, but Coach Lee is also a trans man. Did I say that right, Coach Lee? Trans man. And so I wanted Coach Lee to come on, not only to talk about his very, really cool business. You guys should check out his TikToks. It's pretty cool. I scrolled through it for like probably 30 minutes looking at all the videos. I was like, oh man, I'm going to take that idea right there. I like that. Because I don't know nothing about TikTok. But anyway, Coach the trans man. And so I Coach and I talked. And he was like, yeah, I'm absolutely open to having that conversation with you whenever you're ready to. Because as I am sure, Coach has probably had many questions over his years of experience and things that he's done and gone through. And so for my listeners, all of you know that I am a reverend, as Coach does as well. And so sometimes what people have a tendency to do is believe that, just because I'm a reverend, I am of the Christian faith. But, you know, just because you're a reverend means that you kind of like you can't talk to people who may have lifestyles or perspectives that's different from yours. I'm quite the opposite of that. I like to know who people are, why they are, why they do what they do. Because I believe that there's commonalities that we can all find in each other's life and stories that connect us more than divide us. And so I'll let Coach talk about that story on his own. So, Coach, I'll turn it over to you. And please share. Begin about telling us your story and maybe what led you to that experience of that change in your life. And then we can wrap up by talking about how you can help all of us. How's that?
All right. Sure. So I, again, want to thank you for having me on your podcast. I've had my own experiences with Christianity that when I see those letters RVE in front of your name or something, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to be. Is it okay? Is it safe to talk?
Yeah.
But it's really a beautiful space to be in, to create. So I'm grateful to be here. And about me and my experience, for those of us who may not know about transitioning and trans and cis and that all the words that are flying around in the LGBTQ space right now. Trans means that essentially, however you were born, whatever gender you were born, it is not what you identify as. Mm. So the change can be physical or it just may not be physical. It may be just how the person presents themselves, how they wear their clothing or how they speak, whatever makes sense and makes it feels good to them, but it's how they identify. So the biggest thing to recognize is that how you identify, how you were pronounced at birth is not how you identify currently. So for me, I was born as female and I transitioned to male. And I've spent about 30 something years as a female, a cis female. And cis female or cis means that you were born as the gender and you identify as that same gender. So cis female, trans female, too many terms, but those are just the basic ones.
Now, is that a term that has come out recently? Because I think I heard it for the first time maybe a week ago, and I didn't know what it meant. Yeah.
What, cis? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm, it's been out for a while. It's been there for a while, just to make that determination or difference. So if you were born that way and you continue to identify that way, that's basically cis. It's really easy to point out.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so how was that experience for you in your family? Were your parents kind of like, oh yeah, that's great, no worries, you know, we accept you, you know? They didn't go the opposite direction where, you know, the stories that we hear that when some kids come out or identify the opposite sex, then they were born.
Yeah,
you know, some parents kind of go left with that. You know what I mean?
It's such a whirlwind for the parents to go through that kind of thing. I understand that, and that's what the parents react. But as for me and my experience, well, I've never really had a great relationship with them in the first place. That's why I actually got into coaching, and my whole process and going through this is that I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and I was just always looking for connection. And I'm presenting as a cis female in this case. I grew up in a small religious town. Everybody's like religious here, church is there, and everybody's this way. And I was just looking for connection. I was looking for community. I was looking to be friends with people. And I just didn't seem to understand how to make that friendship last or make a friendship, really a close friendship. I didn't know how to do that. And so I was always told that I need to go find my tribe, So when I had the opportunity to move to college, I thought, well, it's going to be a different experience. There are not so many religious people. I thought religion was the thing that was keeping me from creating the friendships because I couldn't understand or identify with a lot of the things I was taught in church. I just couldn't identify with those things.
Yeah. Go ahead. I want to really, really hang right there for a minute because a lot of our listeners consider themselves Christians. Not all, but for sure not all. But a lot of our listeners do. And some of them may loosely identify with that. Some of them don't, they're not comfortable with that label at all because of all the history and baggage that goes along with that. So, was your household a Christian household? Were your parents, meaning like, were they like really involved in church or, you know, like how did the religious thing influence this decision you made? You know, I shouldn't say decision you made, but.
Yeah.
For lack of a better understanding, a way of putting it. Yeah.
How I think did that's religion the, weigh in? Yeah. I think that's the right way to put it. That's a perfect way to put it. Because all of our experiences culminate into something that influenced us to do something. So my experience with the church and being at home was that I saw people around me say, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. But also in the same token, they would do things that they taught me I should not do. Like they wouldn't tell the truth, or they would talk about people behind their back. They do the things that they tell you not to do in the Bible. And then I'm also part of the queer community. Essentially, I grew up as a cis female, but I also started to like women as well. And so
What age were you around when that started happening?
14, 15.
Okay, so you're a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't date anybody. I didn't tell anybody about this. I didn't tell anybody about this until like maybe I was 20 or 21 in college, away from the thing that I thought was going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I can't be myself with them. They don't make sense. Like some of the things in the Bible don't make sense to me either. And I was told not to ask questions about those things. Just do what you're told to do. essentially, like, just, you know, believe in God and stuff. And I just thought, I believe in the blood of Christ and all those things that mm-hmm. are supposed to be comforting. They're supposed right. to be salvation, but it doesn't right. feel like it to me. It didn't feel like it to me. And so I equated the behaviors with the adults that I saw around me with this religion. I'm like, all right, there's something wrong because people here, they're backbitey. They're not cool with each other. They're kind of mean. They're not embracing. I don't understand what religion is supposed to do. This is not what they're embodying. This is not it. Mm-hmm. And also, if they really know who I am and how I feel about things, they're not going to like me. They were so ready to toss me in a lake of fire. It's not even funny. That's what I believe.
So was this when you were 14?
These were all these things. And I just figured, well, I just need to learn more about the Bible. And so I remember reading the Bible, going through it and looking and reading it. And it was hard because a lot of things didn't make sense to me. And so I was reading about, you know, the Old Testament, and a lot of things were just like burn, destroy, crush. Right. People disobeyed. I'm like, yikes. That's more the stuff I'm experiencing with the adults. There's something wrong with this piece of strong's wrong with this thing here. And so I continue on. And I remember when I was 19, I read about the most religious or most righteous man, the most righteous man and how in the city and how God sent an angel to come save him. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading it, and the townspeople, they saw the guy come in, the angel come into the city, and they were like, hey, we want to mess with that angel. And the dude, the righteous guy, was like, no, you can't do that. Take my daughter instead. And I was like, what? This is the most righteous guy in the city. This doesn't make sense to me. All right. This thing really has to go. So this is where I started to deconstruct and pull away from religion, like, fully. Like, I wasn't trying to do anything within the church. In fact, I was trying to push against it. It was still part of my consciousness as the enemy. It wasn't until sometime later I started to make peace with it. But peace was like in the last couple of years, I actually started to make peace with it and understand it more.
Yeah, well, you know, I consider myself a trained theologian and biblicist. So, you know, one of the things that I try to explain people all the time when you're looking at the Bible, and I'll just do my little Bible thing real quick, but okay. But the Hebrew Bible, or also known as the Old Testament, is really giving reader a perspective about a particular people's struggle with their God. Explaining to people that the Old Testament, the better way to contextualize the Old Testament is realizing its angle. Its angle is historic. Its angle is, here's a people who struggle with their God many, many times through disobedience, slavery, deliverance, you know, and then this cycle just repeats over and over and over again. So now a lot of things in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament or Hebrew Bible, it's not really meant for our example as much as it is meant for educating us about this is what happened and this is how God interacted with those people. And so I think that's important for people listening to understand. And that even though, you know, that information is generally just not understood by the average person. And that's fine, right? Because they don't, people go to school to study and learn this trade and skill just like they do anything else. What's interesting to me about what you said is that, you know, you saw some inconsistencies, right? Yeah. You saw people who were saying one thing and doing something different. I'm interested to know, were any of those individuals, you know, instrumental? And like, was there anyone in that group that you found that you could actually talk to and say, look, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. Can you help me understand what's happening? Can you, I'm reading this in the Bible. I don't understand this. Did you have anyone around you to kind of help you maneuver through that experience in your life?
Well, I talked to many people. I've searched, I've talked to different religions and different churches, because there's Christianity, there's the Lutheran Church, there's the Pentecostals, the Baptists. I went to talk to the leaders in those churches before I decided I was going to dump it all. And they gave me the same answers. They gave me the same kind of answers, was essentially, you don't understand. And they couldn't give me any clarity. So it was basically, what I feel about the Bible is something I don't understand. I feel what I read, like with the inconsistencies, I read that because it was like, go read, go figure it out. Somebody had sent something like that. And so I started to dive in, trying to figure it out for myself. And then I asked questions and nobody has the answer to the questions. And so what I feel about it is invalid. Essentially, the conclusion that I came to was that, all right, the Bible isn't for me. The Bible wants me to die and go into a lake of fire because I'm disgusting and I wasn't created. I was created to just be, tossed into a lake of fire, essentially.
Wow.
That was my whole existence. And that's what I believed about it. And nobody could give me any clarity about that, because on the very next breath, they want to say something like, God loves you, but only if you do X, Y, Z. XYZ, only do XYZ. And if you don't do XYZ, you're destined for a lake of fire. But also, you are perfect. God made you perfect the way you are. So which is it? Oh, it's too much for me. You know what? I'm not even going to try to figure it out because nobody has clarity. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it all away. That's what I did.
Okay.
It's like, it's too much to try and figure out.
Right. So I get it. So what was your experience like? Was that in college, or was that when, as a teenager, you decided that I'm done with this, or that change happened when you decided to disregard, I would say, would you say Christianity or the Bible or all of that?
All of that. I would say around 1920. So 1920.
Yeah.
19 years old, 19 years and 20 years old. This was like the in between. So 18, I went to college. 19, I still had some connection to my hometown. And 20, I was like, all right, I'm going to make a push to get it out of my life, but not just let it go. Make an effort to push against the fact that anybody who is interested in it, they need to be out of my space or attack it. It's like that. Yeah. So going through this process of being frustrated with it so much, like, attaching this idea that if you're a Christian, you're going to judge me and you're going to tell me I'm a bad person because you believe in this thing that I don't. I'm destined for the lake of fire, and you're all pure and you're special because you go to church and you're holy and you also do things that are backbiting and upsetting and hurtful, but I am the one who is going to suffer. That's what I believed when anybody said something like, I'm Christian.
So there was no possible conversation that you would have or even entertain at that point because of those kinds of experiences. Is that right?
Absolutely. If the leaders of the churches, I'm telling you, the place I come from, there are plenty of churches. There are so many churches that people I could talk to, Black leaders, white leaders, Mormon, Catholic, they didn't have the answers for me, didn't have anything that made sense to me. And so I dumped it all. And then I was thought, well, you were all together and you're all against me. And I have to prove that I'm worth existing to you. And as I say this now at 39, I'm like, wow, that was 20 years ago. And I could smile and laugh at that person just because how I remember how I felt so angry about that. And now I've gone through this process where I'm like, oh yeah, I see where you're coming from now. It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense to me. It doesn't apply to me, but it makes sense. Yeah.
So how did you, what was the internal journey like? Like, so 13, 14, 15 or whatever, you started to identify differently, right? So you had some internal changes happening, right? And then you have this Christian thing, right? You begin to sort of deconstruct or pull away from this. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it was a part of your lifestyle, Christianity before, but there were some inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure that a lot of people have that experience. And I think it's valuable for us to think through that, because people listening or maybe someone that they know is having some very similar experiences. So what I'm interested in is, what was the internal battle like? Like internally, you know, what was the emotional turmoil that, because I know you have to have some emotional turmoil. The reason why I bring it up, because as a chaplain, I deal with a lot of people who are having turmoil, emotional, right? Counseling needs therapy, right? So there are lots of issues, right, going on there.
Yeah.
And some of these individuals are, you know, they are same gender loving, right? But they're in an environment where they really can't bring it up because they'll be made fun of and so forth and so on. For multiple of reasons that I don't want to get into now, but I'm sure you can imagine what that's like.
Exactly.
And so, I'm wondering, my experience, at least from what I've talked to people, said, you know, people go into wanting to hurt themselves, could become suicidal, have extreme amounts of depression, right? Because you're not only, you know, maybe going against a community, maybe your own household, people are responding to you in non-supportive ways, but then you have to live with that. Like, these are people that maybe you grew up with, people that are your friends, people in your neighborhood, family alike. So what is that experience like? I really want people to hear and understand what that experience is like.
Well, I want to share, though, that on that point is that experience is just not unique to trans people. This idea or same gender loving people, the idea that you can't reveal your authentic self to somebody because you're going to be hurt. That happens to everybody. Everybody has that experience in which they have something, the truth. I like to say the truth of who you are, but the truth of who you are, you can't share that with another person. What I describe as the truth is how you feel about any experience or event. It's your feelings about that experience, and the expression of that is the truth of who you are. And so if you don't like something, or if you do like something, depending on the people around you, they're going to respond to that. So let's say you have a hobby that you really, really enjoy. You want to share that with people, but you get laughed at. You get laughed at for being smart. You get laughed at for being tall. You get laughed at for being black. You get laughed at for anything that you are. If you express that to somebody, it's going to happen, right? So people understand that feeling of wanting to hide. But what really gets people who are really in high focus right now, which when they're told that what they're doing is wrong, and most people want to point at them because they can't see the similarity, like same gender loving or trans people, we want to look at them because they are absolutely different from us, and they're easy to mark. I don't understand their experience, so I don't want them to express it.
Easy to poke fun at.
I don't understand them, so I don't want them to express whatever it is that they're expressing. I don't want them to do that. So then when we feel that way, or other people feel that way, they're going to make fun, they're going to try and hurt, and they're going to try and stop them from expressing the truth of who they are, how they feel about themselves, expressing that. They're going to stop that. And when it happens to anybody, when anybody feels like they can't express the truth, they hurt. They feel uncomfortable.
Right.
They do things that make them feel like, well, what is the point? What is the point of life if no one wants to see me in all my authenticity? That's why I'm so depressed. That's why I feel so unheard, so unseen. I may as well just not be here. Those are some of the things that I've felt, I've definitely thought about. But I was fortunate enough to always be in a space in which I would create that for myself. So
what do you mean?
As a fortunate, So
that's interesting, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I was conditioned to believe that I was never enough, and that if I showed my truth of anything, I'd be made fun of. So anything that was important to me, I'd be made fun of. So, or I'd be ostracized. So for example, I didn't come out until I was out of the house. I didn't talk about my dislike of Christianity until I was out of the house. So there was no threat to me about my physical harm or safety in that way. There was none. I was in a different space. But I had just perceived that it would be that way. And so I was always just afraid to share. So I didn't have the same kind of restrictions that somebody who's 15, 16, 17 living in the house. Right. I didn't have that. I just kind of kept to myself and didn't talk about many things, not important things like that.
And that it was like, lonely. Was that a very lonely place for you?
Yeah, definitely. Very lonely place.
How did you deal with that? That is, man, I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking to myself, how does a person deal with the fact that they can't really come out? Literally, you figured out a way to like how to deal. To me, it sounds like you figured out a way.
I figured out how to deal, but it didn't come out. It didn't come out for years later. I didn't understand what I was doing. It was already programmed into me. So anything that I would do and I would believe it was important and special to me, I would not share it with another person. So that was just because I was afraid that they would make fun of me for it. And sure enough, it happened. It always happened. I would go to different places and I would feel like, oh, I need to keep this to myself. So I went to college and I was like kind of afraid to come out because, you know, it was like 2003, something along those lines, and it wasn't really widely accepted. So then I got a girlfriend and I decided the entire state of Ohio was kind of messed up, and I went to California, and then I was out in California. I was like, people met my girlfriend and all that stuff, and I thought I was going to make some close connections and real friendships with people because I'm finally sharing my authentic self. But that wasn't true. I found another way to keep myself trapped by thinking that I wanted to transition from female to male, but I didn't share that with anybody in California. I thought I thought for sure that they would reject me. They would reject me because they didn't understand the process. I didn't really have the language for it either. I didn't understand all the things, and there was nobody to talk to about it.
Well, and that's interesting that you say that, because in California, you know, I'm on the West Coast. So California, I mean, it's a little bit more open about stuff like that. It's like, so what? Why are you saying that there's a difference between a same gender loving person versus the trans community?
Yeah.
Is that why you kind of like, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, there is a huge difference, because there's still same gender loving or still cisgendered people. And for meeting or knowing trans people is a complete shock to those who have never thought about that. It has never been in their consciousness before. And now you've got somebody saying that after millions of years of evolution, that's probably what they'll say, something like that. Like, they've only known two genders, and all of a sudden you're coming here telling me that you were not female, you were a man. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm going to punch your face because you said that to me. I don't like it.
So you thought violence was usually the way that people responded, maybe?
Well, I think violence is the way people respond, like humans in general.
Right.
If you don't understand it, they're afraid of it, and you want to destroy these things that you're afraid of because it makes you feel powerless. Those things. And so it happens kind of instantly with people. They're like, I don't understand you. You got to get away from me. You're disgusting. But anyway, there was nobody to talk to about what I was thinking and feeling, because nobody else could fathom it. No one couldn't fathom that. And I'm it's interesting.
When you moved to California, about what age was that for you?
Oh, I was 26. I was 26 when I moved to California.
Your mid-20s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how was that experience when you decided to go through, okay, now I want to become a trans, a man? What was that experience like for you?
So like, I spent all of California not telling anybody about that. So I left.
Very lonely place still.
Yeah, it was all lonely. Wow. It was all lonely because I figured that the you know, the patterns of possibility. That's what the company is called because of that.
Right.
I realized that I was stuck in a pattern of just creating this loneliness for myself by not sharing the truth of how I feel about things. And so I was afraid of being rejected. And so I ended up moving again. I had an opportunity to move from California to Chicago. And by the way, in California, I wasn't in one of the big lustrous areas. I was in the Central Valley. I was in the Modesto area. Okay. So it's like rural, like farm land. And it's different from being in the Bay Area or LA. So, So there wasn't much people to talk to about that. And it was still like in 2008, they were the first state to get gay marriage, but still they kind of pushed back against that, hemmed and hawed. It just, you know, people weren't really, really aligned on this idea of being trans. And then Caitlyn Jenner came out, and that's about the time I moved to Chicago. I moved to Chicago right as she came out. And so I found the right people and the language to put it together, what I was thinking and feeling. And through that process, I learned more about myself and how important it is to be open and honest with people. And that was the only way that I started to make friendships. Like I started to connect with people because I had to know, I had to share more about what I was thinking and feeling with others. And the problem that I've discovered in coaching people and then learning more about myself is that we are on autopilot so much that we are told what to think and we don't really know how we feel about things. We're just going and going and going, but we're not feeling anything. And so if you can't express how you feel about something, which is the truth of who you are, you're not going to make a connection. That's what I discovered.
Making a connection with other people. So had you, through all of that experience, which is a lot, had you considered, like, was there any other spiritual resource? So let's say Christianity. So think about people who are listening to you, right? You know, they hear that, you know, you had this experience, you kind of grew up in church, or you did, around the Christian environment. And then there were some inconsistencies, but you really didn't have anyone to engage you about the deep questions you had, the things that were seeming contradictory to you. And you were going through some changes in your own life and coming to an awareness of who you were and what you were feeling and what you were thinking. I think everybody gets that. Everybody understands that. You had questions about faith, particularly about Christianity, but the responses you got were not making much sense to you. And then you began to sort of just do away with that, right? Was that, what did you replace that lack of spirituality or that spiritual community with another community or spirituality, did any kind of spirituality become, did you become aware of any other spiritual resources during that time?
No, like I was like, you know, just spending time in the bars would be the other thing that I did. That happened for a long, long time until I would say fairly recently, maybe the last 5 or 6 years, where I decided that I don't want to do so much of this. I looked into Buddhism and other spiritual practice, but I didn't dive into them because it still didn't feel right to me. It's like anything that couldn't answer these questions about who I was and why I deserved to be hurt. Like I couldn't get rid of that. I had to get rid of that first, that idea that I deserve to be hurt, because that's what
you
I learned.
You said why I deserve to be. I've never heard anyone described it that way.
Oh yeah. That's what I felt. I was like, well, I deserve to be hurt. I'm put here to just be harmed. I'm put here as a cosmic joke. Like everything, I mean, all this feels natural and good to me, but everybody else says it's wrong and I need to not exist. And I had to get through that. And I didn't think there was no other religion that could replace that or any spirituality that could replace that. It was just me looking at my own patterns in life. I'd say that it's not where I just automatically figured it out. Somebody had told me, that in therapy, I went to therapy, I went to counseling, and cognitive behavioral therapy was something that was really helpful for me. So they had told me to pay attention to how you feel about the things you're doing in life and just go with that. And I took off with it, and I started to really like analyze how I felt about things and really look at some behaviors and actions with other people. And then things started to make sense to me as far as my reconciliation with Christianity and letting...
How did you reconcile with Christianity?
Well, I decided that there are a lot of people who do things because of how they feel about... everybody does something because of how they feel about it. And so whatever the person's beliefs are, they are theirs. And whatever are mine are mine. And I get to decide whether or not I want to accept this idea from another person that I'm okay or that I'm not okay. I'm a good person or I'm a not a good person. I get to make that decision for myself. And so if I want to suffer, then I'll continue listening to the people that tell me I should. But I get to decide.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Powerful, powerful. So yeah, man, I think there are a lot of Christians out there, right? I think there are a lot of people out there who would definitely listen to you, Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may already have a large community like that. I'm not sure. But I think there are a lot of Christians out there who would listen to you and who would welcome, not that you need that, but, you know, I think it is important for everyone to understand that there are different ways and different streams of Christianity and Christian thought. And this has been, this is historically true. So I'm not saying anything that is, that hasn't been true for hundreds of years, that you have different streams of Christianity. You have an Eastern Christian experience in history, and you have a Western Christian experience. We live in a Western Christian experience, but there's an Eastern Christian experience that most people in the West who consider themselves Christians or fundamentalists or evangelical or what have you, they have no clue about, nor are they interested in that conversation. But if the truth be known, I think that if people would open themselves up to, you know, your story, for instance, or stories, many stories like yours, right? And have conversation. And I think that's critically important, having the ability to listen to someone else's story. Yeah. You may not agree with them. That's fine. You don't have to agree with them. You may not like it. That's fine. You don't have to. But you still can be cordial. You still can listen. You still can seek to understand instead of knocking and go in this other route. Because I can tell you, from my experience working with people of different faith groups. So as a chaplain, I work with people from many different faiths, from Buddhist to Hindus to Islamic. These are my colleagues that I work with. It's kind of ecumenical, to say the least. And so I spend most of my time talking to people who are not in the church or may not even associate with anything like that. So it's critically important that we understand that when you're in a bubble and you're talking to people who are also in that bubble with you, you can't see anything different.
Right.
And that's problematic, right? Particularly in this day and time. And so I believe that there are many people who can benefit from what you are offering. And if they can just listen to the story, right? I mean, pick up these critical nuggets that you're like in your story, like listen to what he said, listen to how Coach said it, and try to understand where he's coming from. Now, Coach, the truth of the matter is on your end, it doesn't matter what people believe, think or not. But I want people to who may be listening and having this old like gnawing feeling coming up in their heart listening to you, I want them to take a breath, breathe, pause, and listen to this story. Listen to the story. Now,
well, if I could say something to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you sure
can. I would hope that I would hope that people would be able to hear me and feel my experience and become a part of my experience in the sense that you don't have to worry so much about what other people think of you as long as you know how you feel about yourself and how you are. So you don't have to be mad at Lee for not believing what you believe, because it doesn't matter. You know what your relationship is like with your Christ and your God.
I
would hope that you could see that for yourself and you could look at Lee and say, well, Lee's just doing the same thing I'm doing. Lee's doing what feels great for him, and Lee's not harming me in any way.
Absolutely.
I just hope that that would be something that I'd come across with that. And say also, last thing is that I know that it's not all Christians or not all this or not all that. You don't need to group people into categories about things.
Right.
It's about the truth of who you are is about how you behave or how you feel in a specific instance. So if you're coming to me and you're talking to me, even though your whole religion or your whole life is Christianity, but you're coming and talking to me and you're listening to me and listening to how I've had this experience or interest that experience, we're not going to be fighting. I'm not going to try and attack you. I'm here and you're here to see me, and I'm here to see you as your authentic self. And so I made peace with Christianity because I believe that's the core of it. That's the core. That's the peace to connect with each other. I don't have to fight you for that. You don't have to fight me.
Absolutely. Great point. So how do you help your clients that you coach? What is the number one, what is the number one need that you help your people that you coach deal with? And how do you help how does your niche help them become more authentically themselves and develop these kind of communities where they're not stuck off and lonely? Because I think that's a big one, right? You wouldn't think that in the world that we live in today that you couldn't connect to a community, right? Because there's so many different ways you can do that. But apparently there are people who still have that struggle, and you help these people. So tell us about how you do that.
Yeah, the most common problem is that people feel like others don't like them. But the truth about it is that they don't like you. It's not that they don't like you. It's that they don't know you. You don't give them anything exciting or interesting to know about who you are, because you are doing what I did. You're hiding. You're hiding how you feel about stuff. Like, if you're hiding your joy, you're hiding what frustrates you. You don't want to share with people. Because when you do that, you've probably had experiences in which you have this joyful thing that you want to talk to people about. But when you start talking about it, people are like, rah, 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 shut up, don't talk. So you've learned to every time that you try to open up that you won't do that. But you have to face that. This is where I do my work, is because I help people face that. The rah, 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 it's coming. It's going to come. People aren't going to like what I say right now. People aren't going to like some of the things that you say. People aren't going to like how you act and behave. It has to be, you have to live your truth. We can't hide that stuff. At least for one person, you can't hide that stuff, because it's how we feel about ourselves. It's our authenticity. We always want it to come out. It's going to. So what I say is work through, build the skills for, build resilience against the rejection, against the haters that are going to come out. And when you do that, you are going to find your tribe, because when you put your light out there, when people see it, there are going to be people out there who were just where you were, you essentially, who are afraid to shine, but you are going to shine, and they're going to see that. And they're like, oh, that's just like me. Wow. That's amazing. I want to be like that. I want to be connected like that. And the way you benefit from this is that you want to talk about that thing that's shining, that you're holding above your head, the light that you have. You want to talk about it just as much as this person who is hiding wants to talk about it. You don't have to do anything but be yourself, and people who are like you will be attracted to you. You don't have to go looking anywhere, because everywhere you go, there you are, and there will be the people who will see you. So I help people get through that, understand more about themselves. I help people with journaling. So I have a free journal prompt, 50 journal prompts, to help people understand more about themselves, because you might not know what to say, but also I'm going to help you figure out how to say it too. So there's a whole coaching thing that goes into it. But in the gist of it is helping people understand more about what's important to them and sharing that with another person. And if I could share three things that consider talking about or consider learning about yourself so that you can find the right people. So I tell people to search for or know more about their history, their hobbies, and their habits. Your history is your identity, those things that have shaped who you are. Maybe your gender, your race, how you grew up. You grew up in the same parent household, then like two-parent household with same gender-loving people. You're going to have a different experience. And you probably want to talk about that because that has shaped your life.
Right, for sure.
So, yeah. And so that's your history. And then your hobbies, those things that bring you joy. And you go out there and you talk about the things that bring you joy unashamed. Because you're going to run into people that don't like it, but that's your joy. You love it. You can't be connected to somebody who's not interested in the thing that you want. So I'm talking about making close friendships, right? You want to spread your joy. You want to talk about things that make you happy. You don't want the fight to get somebody interested in the thing that makes you happy. And then finally, your habits. If you're a go-getter, you're up working 13 hours a day, it's going to be hard for you to connect with somebody who works 4 hours a day. Like who has a part-time job because you have a different mindset. You're going to be doing things differently. So you want to look at those things that you do on a day-to-day basis and know that that's a part of your lifestyle, whether it's the food, the kind of food that you eat, if you're a vegetarian, and it's going to be difficult for you to might connect with meat eaters because of whatever culture that might be there, their habits that might be there. But you want to focus on knowing those things about yourself. And then connecting with other people who do those things that are important to you about them. So that's your history, your hobbies, and your habits.
So coach, we've talked about a lot today. So we've talked about your personal journey, how you went through your gender identity crisis and what that really meant to you, how that interacted with the presuppositions of your family, your community, and your church. The discontentment it brought because of the answers you could not get from the religious leaders in the community that you grew up, how you went through the transitory stage going through from all of that into college and then decided that, you know what, things have got to change for me. I got to want to be my authentic self to now helping other people who may deal with that, but may not, right? They may, it may not, you know, I'm assuming that a lot of your clients, they may not be trans or same gender loving. They just, they're people who are trying to find friends and trying to, you know, make sense and meaning to their lives, right? So they don't seem as though they are a cosmic joke, so to speak. What would you share with them about developing community, finding themselves? And what resources do you think that you can share with that can help them make that transition or be finding support they need as they go through that transition?
Wow. Well, finding the support that you need is definitely, if you are a person who is considering transitioning or if you feel kind of lonely and lost, I think the best thing that you can do for yourself is to learn more about who you are, learn more about yourself, learn more about things that are important to you. And although it feels really isolating right now, trying to pretend and trying to connect with people by not being your authentic self hurts even more. So trying to figure out exactly who you are and what you're looking for from yourself is going to help you. And if you're a person who is supporting someone who is trans or same gender loving, then what I'd ask you to do is to listen, right? There is no judgment. The world, be that safe place. Create that safe space for this person to talk about their experiences. Be curious about it. You may not understand it. You may have some questions of your own, but so do they. All I'm asking you to do is to listen to them and try to help them feel less alone in their experience of being confused and lost. Be there with them and help them notice that they can get out of it. They will get out of it.
Very good. Well, Coach, I am happy that you decided to grace us with your presence and share your experience with us, your personal journey, but also how you are contributing back to the world in a positive place. And once again, you guys can go check Coach Lee out on patternsofpossibility.com is his website and business. You can also follow him on most major social media platforms, including IG, Instagram, TikTok, Reddit. his website, and of course, YouTube and Facebook. He's there for you as well, where you can learn about all of his businesses, his coaching programs. They are all there, as well as there will be a link down in the show notes that will lead you to all the offerings he has for you. So, Coach, thank you once again for gracing us with your presence. We appreciate you coming by and the value you added to us. I think it's going to help people make those connections that they need to make in order to live their true selves and be their true self. So thank you, man. I look forward to further conversations. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here. An honor. Thanks for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Here's what I learned in my interview with Coach. We must engage with people we disagree. Christians must first and foremost let love lead our conversations. We must create an opportunity for people with whom we disagree to have space within our community to be heard. That includes trans people. We may disagree, but we still must create space for people to grapple with faith, fears, and doubts, just as many of the biblical characters like David, Abraham, Paul the Apostle, and many others who, when confronted with confrontation, doubt, fear, and disbelief, often felt silent and felt abandoned when faith and life did not match up. I couldn't help to think that throughout the interview that if there would have been a pastor or leader or Sunday school teacher who would have listened to Coach doubts, fears, and disbeliefs, maybe answer his questions and engage with him over the long term, then his perspective about the church would be different. What the church is faced with, we're faced with the risk of death. We start saying that the grace of God is no longer sufficient for our doubts, fears, and disbelief. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, "Let him without sin cast the first stone." Thank you so much for listening to the Next Evolution podcast. By writing a review or subscribing to our channel, you support what we're doing.